Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. If you have your books, give us this day our daily good news, volume 1, number 1. That's where we are right now. Under the reign of grace, it is just as easy to do right as under the reign of sin, it is easy to do wrong. This must be so, for if there is not more power in grace than there is in sin, there can be no salvation from sin. And this is a passage by A.T. Jones. Let's look at this again. Under the reign of grace, and we were talking about grace in Sabbath school this morning. Under the reign of grace, it is just as easy to do right as under the reign of sin, it is easy to do wrong. This must be so, for if there is not more power in grace than there is in sin, there can be no salvation from sin. But there is salvation from sin. No one who believes Christianity can deny this. Salvation from sin depends upon there being more power in grace than there is in sin, and that it cannot possibly be otherwise. Wherever the power of grace can have control, it will be easy to do right. No one ever naturally found it difficult to do wrong, because man is naturally enslaved to the power of sin that is absolute in its reign. And so long as that power has sway, it is not only difficult, it is impossible to do the good that he knows and that he would. But let a mightier power than that have sway, then is it not plain enough that it will be just as easy to serve the will of the mightier power as it was to serve the will of the other power when it reigned? But grace is not simply more powerful than his sin. If this were all, even then there would be good cheer to every sinner in the world, but there is much more power in grace than there is in sin. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, a reference to Romans 5, verse 20. So there is much more hope for every sinner in the world. Whence comes grace? From God. Grace be unto you, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whence comes sin? From the devil, of course. Well, it is as plain as ABC that there is much more power in grace than there is in sin, as there is more power in God than there is in the devil. Page 2, number 2. Again, a passage by A.T. Jones. Where the difficulty comes is that so many people try to serve God with the power of Satan. In other words, they're trusting to self. But that can never be done. Man cannot gather grapes of thorns, nor figs of thistles. The tree must be made good, root and branch. It must be made new. You must be born again. And that's a reference to 1 John 3, verses 6 to 9. Let no one ever attempt to serve God with anything but the present living power of God that makes him a new creature, with nothing but the more abundant grace that condemns sin in the flesh and reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. then the service of God will indeed be in newness of life. Then it will be found that his yoke is indeed easy and his burden light. Then his service will be found indeed to be with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Did Jesus ever find it difficult to do right? Everyone will instantly say no. But why? He took flesh and blood the same as ours. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the kind of flesh that he was made in this world was precisely such as was in this world. In all things he had to be made like his brethren. In all things. It does not say in all things but one. There is no exception. He was of himself, weak as we are, for he said, I can of myself do nothing. Now notice it's talking about his flesh and blood, not about his mind. He didn't take the fallen, sinful human mind. Going on, it says, why then did he find it always easy to do right? Because he never trusted to himself, a reference to John 5, verse 30. But his trust was always in God alone, that is the Father. He always sought to serve God only with the power of God. And that's your key, dear friend. But as he is, so are we in this world. He has left us an example that we should follow his steps. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, as well as in him, Philippians 2:13. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto him, and he desires that you may be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Let's turn to number 45. This is a passage by E.J. Wagoner from Romans 8:31-37. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And again, Romans 8:31-37. Remember that Christ gave the example of defeating Satan by the word of the testimony. Every time temptation came, he said, it is written. So when the clouds of darkness come and the thick darkness gathers about us, just say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And God is for us, as is shown in that he gave Christ to die for us and raised him again for our justification, that is, to make us righteous. A reference to Romans 4, verse 25. Then it does not matter what comes against us, for it comes against the purpose of God, and that is as sure and firm as the Almighty can make it. Now who is against us? Satan. Satan has tried his power with Christ, and it has proved to be nothing. All power is given to me in heaven and earth, says Christ, Matthew 28, verse 18. If all power has been given to Christ in heaven and in earth, where is there any left for Satan? Satan is against us. He brings pestilence, disease, puts things in our way against us. But the very thing he arrays against us to our ruin, God takes and makes them for us. We often sing, let good or ill befall, it must be good for me, secure of having thee in all, of having all in thee. But we often sing things we do not believe. Often, if you look at the words from the music and put them into plain prose, there would not be anyone in the congregation who would dare to say them. Let us believe them not because they're in the hymn, but because they are Bible truth. All things are yours at the present time. Therefore, if people heap on us reproach and persecution, the only thing that we can do is to pity them and labor for them, for they do not know the riches of the inheritance. Number 75. passage by A.T. Jones. No master workman looks at a piece of work he is doing as it is half finished and begins to find fault. There may be faults in it, but it is not finished yet. And while he works on it to take away all the faults, still he looks at it in its finished purpose, in its own original plan. It would be an awful thing if the wondrous master workman were to look at us and say, "That is good for nothing." He doesn't do that. He looks at us as we are in his eternal purpose in Christ and goes on with his wondrous work. You and I may look at it and say, "I don't see how the Lord is ever going to make a Christian out of me and make me fit for heaven or anything else." If he looked at us as we look at ourselves, and if he were as poor a workman as we could never be of any worth. No, he looks at us as we are in his finished purpose. Although we may appear all rough and marred and scarred now as we are here in ourselves, he sees us as we are yonder in Christ. And that's a reference to 2 Corinthians 5:19. As we have confidence in him, we will let him carry on the work. Has he not given us an example of his workmanship? God has set before us in Christ his complete workmanship in sinful flesh. Now he says to us, "Look at that. That is what I am able to do with sinful flesh. Now you put your confidence in me and let me work. I will carry on the work. It is not your task at all." Number 90. Again, a passage by E.J. Wagoner. Many hesitate to make a start to serve the Lord because they fear that he will not accept them. I reply by a question. If you go to the store and make a purchase, will you receive the goods? The fact that you bought them is sufficient proof not only that you are willing, but that you are anxious to receive them. Let us apply this to the sinner coming to Christ. He purchased us with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. He gave himself for us, Titus 2, verse 14. He bought the whole world of sinners, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3, 16. Jesus said, "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." John 6, 51. When we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. "But I am not worthy." That means you are not worth the price paid, and you fear to come lest Christ will repudiate the purchase. Now you might have some fear on that score if the bargain were not sealed and the price not already paid, but you have nothing to do with the question of worth. Christ made the purchase with his eyes wide open. He is not at all disappointed when you come to him and he finds that you are worthless. If he was satisfied to make the bargain, you should be the last one to complain. Most wonderful of all, he bought you for the very reason that you were not worthy. His eyes saw in you great possibilities, and he bought you not for what you were then or are now worth, but for what he could make of you. We have no righteousness, therefore he bought us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, let us remember these things. Jesus is the master workman. He will do his work in you and in me if we will just simply get out of his way and let him do his work. As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8, part of which we read already. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.